the Akron Voice, where everyone is someone. This is a podcast where people come on here and just talk about things in the community, things that's affecting them, things they want to, you know, just be themselves. This is a platform where you can be you. And my guest this time is a member of the community. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Andrea Fahey. I am the executive director for Spectrum Diversity Community Center, a recently formed nonprofit in the Akron area for the LGBT community.
Right. So tell me more about the Spectrum Diversity. You know, what is your main mission? What is your main goal?
I mean, the origin story has a lot to do with that, but the short version is that we're trying to empower the LGBT community and provide resources for them to be able to change some of the current running statistics.
And what are some of those running statistics?
Of homeless youth, about 40% of them are LGBT kids.
Uh-huh.
The suicide rate for trans individuals rivals that of combat veterans. The murder rate, we've lost four trans women of color in the past couple of weeks, murdered.
Yeah.
The length of time that we've had to fight to see marriage equality come through, it's just a lot of things like that. And then you also have a staggering poverty rate among the community. And so access to mental health resources, adequate education, job resources, things like that becomes very difficult when you don't have the financial resources to reach out to those locations and those services.
Yeah, that is a real big issue. And, you know, it's 2019 is basically the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots.
Correct.
And, you know, from the 50 years that's passed, we have same-sex marriage legalized. There's been a lot of victories for the LGBT communities, but since the Trump administration has come into being, there has been a lot of setbacks. But even before that, since the end of the battle for same-sex marriage, there's been a bit divide within the community.
Well, and part of that is that so much energy was put into that fight, as well it should have been. You know, that was an important battle for us to win. That once that was won, to a lot of the allies of the community, the fight was over, right? We won. But there's a much larger issue at hand that got overlooked in the focus on that particular issue.
So, with Spectrum Diversity is a new rising small nonprofit organization that's rising up in Akron, what does your organization plan to do to continue that fight?
Well, part of it, one of the things that we're looking to do to try and reduce the fatality rate, both self-induced and homicide, is, and this is actually inspired by the English language, I swear I speak it. my late co-founder actually sparked this aspect of the idea very strongly, that they had been a part of a martial arts dojo for a very long time until financial resources ran out to continue. And they expressed that had helped them tremendously with their mental health, in addition to obviously being able to keep themselves safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the services we're working on getting up and running as soon as we can is self-defense training classes. The woman who we plan on having actually instruct that is a retired MMA fighter.
Oh.
I don't know how far she went, but the woman is definitely more than qualified.
What's her name?
Pony. I can never remember her last name. Always starts with I know it starts with a B, but I can never pronounce it, so I can't remember it. I prefer to omit a name that I haven't had the chance to practice pronouncing, rather than butcher someone else's name.
Yeah,
you know?
I understand.
And since we're on a first name basis, there was never really a need to learn to say the last name in my experience so far.
It's true.
Something to work on.
Yeah.
but yeah, so she. She gave me a list of the materials. We're just waiting on the dojo mats,
mm-hmm.
Which we have a member of the community who is waiting on the mourning period for one of their relatives, family members. And then they're going to acquire those for us from them, and then we'll be able to get that up and running. The other big focus that we have is, of course, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're focusing on trying to get a peer support therapy group up and running. The barrier that we're facing right now with that is that, of course, we want to have adequate and accurate information to be able to tailor this to the actual needs of the community,
mm-hmm.
and not just, of course, my needs as a trans woman. And so we've been running a survey, which has done very well, except that there's a voice missing, and that is the LGBT people of color voice.
Uh-huh.
That we have about 70 to 75 responses, which is great statistically for the population we're dealing with here in Akron. About 68 of those are white people, and nothing against the white community, but there's more than just them. We need those other voices to be able to implement this system so we can make sure it's adequately addressing the needs of everyone and not just one group.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, as a member of the LGBT community, who is a person of color, there is, like, you know, just a little bit of, like, reservations that, you know, a lot of people of color have in the community, because it's, like, a lot of people just see it as a, you know, it's like a, you know, white person's gentleman's club.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just, and if you, like, go to a lot of, you know, meetings, like, used to go to LGBT meetings, and, you know, the main demographic was just mainly white folks, either lesbian, bisexual, supermajority was transgender. And, you know, I'm happy for them to, like, to have that platform.
Yeah,
but
they have their space.
Yeah, but it's like when you have people of color who try to integrate into the space, and they just don't feel like they belong, where it's like, it's times it's like you just feel socially awkward, or you just feel like you have to pander, just like,
yeah,
like a lot of stuff I've been seeing around, it's like the whole from a lot of LGBT youth, it's the Tumblr culture, where it's basically I don't want to speak for everybody, but this is what I've seen.
But in your experience,
yeah, in my experience, I've seen it's like it's more of a Tumblr culture, where it's like, it's become like an isolated bubble, where
an echo chamber.
Yeah, basically, it's like you can have just wanting to have a small safe space where you feel safe, you can be you. But when your main demographic is just white folks, and everybody thinks, believes, talks the same way, and you might have someone who's a person of color who is just around, it's like, in their mind, it's like, I don't agree with you. But you don't want to say anything because
you don't want to be ostracized from that group.
Right. You feel like you get
finally
panicked.
Found a safe space, and you can't, and you still aren't safe.
Right.
I don't want to try and diminish the experience of the members of our community that who are people of color, but I think I think trans individuals, of color or not, can really relate to that in a way that a lot of other people can't, because we are continually barred from spaces that should be safe spaces. You know, like, North Carolina had their bathroom bill,
mm-hmm.
to the point that we couldn't even, like, if I've seen photos of trans men who, if you looked at them, couldn't appear visually more cis.
Right.
And those laws would have forced them into the women's restroom. And I have personal friends who are in the same boat transitioning in the other direction to transitioning male to female that would have faced the same problem, you know? And so a restroom is the one place everybody should be equal and safe.
Right, like, I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to go to the bathroom and just take this.
And I don't want to try and equate safe spaces for our community with bathrooms.
Right.
But it's a similar experience of, this is a place I should be able to feel safe, and even there I can't.
Right.
You know? And even without those laws, even if we use the bathrooms that conform to our appearance or our gender, regardless of which we feel more comfortable in, we still don't always feel safe.
Right, because it's like this weird notion that's been pushed by conservative politicians, where it's like, you know, a trans man or woman can go into the bathroom that they identify as, you know, I'm using quotation marks, just how they say it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might molest someone, and it's like, you know, it's like, in my mindset, it's like, you know, what's stopping a registered sex offender from going into, you know,
these are the same groups of people that will tell you that a gun-free zone with a sign that says no firearms allowed won't stop a gunman, but passing a law that won't let me into the women's restroom will stop a sex offender.
Right. It's a very backwards logic that's...
Well, and statistically speaking, and I don't have the statistics on hand, of course. It's been a long time since I've had to do research on this particular topic, but the majority of sex offenders, if I'm recalling this correctly, are cis, white, heterosexual men.
Yeah.
And yet you're targeting trans people, often of color,
mm-hmm.
as the target of your fear. You know, it's not Sarah down the road, who's a trans woman, that's going to go after your kid, most statistically speaking. It's your buddy John that lives next door. You know?
Right. But it's just these things that we do, that the trans community does on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, it becomes a very stifling environment. Like,
it becomes a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to intercede, but I want to bring us back to the concern that you were raising.
Oh, yeah.
And that is that one of the big focuses that we've had from the very beginning, my team and I,
mm-hmm.
is that we don't want this to be an organization that only tailors or caters to one aspect of the community.
Right.
Right. I've had to work very hard not to make the organization trans-focused. As a trans woman, that's very easy for me to do without realizing, and I've had to be very careful not to do that. Because, of course, those issues are very important to me.
Right.
But there are so many more issues. And so part of the reason why we went through the efforts that we did to add a person of color to our board was to ensure that that voice got heard, right? Mm-hmm. Because I can study and research and statistically completely understand the struggle of a person of color.
Right.
But I don't get it until I've lived it. Right. When I'm white, I can't live it.
Right.
Right. And so we wanted someone who can speak to the experience of what they face, mm-hmm. and not just, well, statistically this happens, because that only gets you so far.
Right.
And we want to make sure that this is an environment when we do achieve one of our long-term goals, which is having a physical location to turn it into an actual community center,
mm-hmm.
Is making sure that people of color, white people, trans, gay, lesbian, bi, pan, etc., 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 all can come here and feel safe and comfortable with who they are.
Right.
Truly achieve that safe space. And I think that if we can do that, or even come close to doing that,
mm-hmm.
that will go a long way to achieving the other goals that the community has as a whole.
Right. And there are a few African-American social groups that are that's on the University of Akron campus, that's in the community like the WOMB, Black Students United. Has there been any talks of trying to extend the Olive Branch to give them a platform, well, use your platform to give them a voice to make their voices heard?
My chief of operations, Nikki, has been in contact with the WOMB, and so she's trying to arrange some sort of partnership with them, mm-hmm. to be able to both elevate our name within the community and also give their organization, and especially the LGBT members of their organization,
mm-hmm.
a voice, even if it is, because often, no matter how accepting a group of people you're in, there's always that concern that, well, this might be a bit much for them, right? And so we want to give them the ability to contact us confidentially if they need to, mm-hmm. to be able to have their voice heard, but through a second person, so that way they don't risk being targeted.
Right.
Because one of the big things, and this was an issue with, I don't know how much about Harvey Milk you know, but this was an issue that a lot of the LGBT community had with him, and that is that he pushed very hard for everybody to just come out, regardless, you know, stop hiding, just come out. But you have to, as great as it would be if everybody did that, we aren't all in a place where we can be safe. There are LGBT youth who could lose their homes and the support of their families long before they're ready to. There are people who could lose their jobs, their homes, their medical insurance, you know, the chance of good education, all sorts of things, if they were to come out. And those people, I'm not going to say should stay in the closet, but should weigh that very carefully. Because their safety and their livelihood aren't ours to decide, right? They need to make that decision. If they don't feel that they can safely, and then for their own mental and physical well-being, be open about who they are, that is their decision, not ours.
Yeah, because during my time at the University of Akron, well, I'm still there, but when I was a freshman, I saw a lot of LGBT youth, especially people of color, who came out in college because they feel like college is the more safe environment. They were with an LGBT group, and you know, have you thought about like extended to olive branch to the LGBT group to work out a partnership with Spectrum and a group on campus, because you know, you might be able to find some more members who are a person of color who might say, like, hey, I might be interested in this Spectrum diversity group. I want to do this. This is something I might be interested in. And, you know, that could be something you guys can look into. Possibly Kent State.
I do have some contacts at Kent State. Erica Pells is one of them. She's a tremendous LGBT activist and trans woman who actually... pushed when she works for Kent State, but she was one of the moving and huge factors in their medical coverage expanding to include trans-related medical care. And then she started an organization on campus for LGBT staff and faculty to be able to have a space, and then actually is the faculty advisor for their LGBT student organization.
Okay.
And so she and I have been talking and working with that organization. As far as Akron's, I've attended a few of their meetings. We've had a couple of conversations. Nothing has really gone anywhere yet. But that relationship is still very young.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to imply that they have not been open or accepting of the idea. We're just still working on it.
Right. And transitioning, since, you know, Spectrum Diversity is pretty new and young, what makes yourself stand out from Canopy and PFLAG, which are, you know, LGBT organizations that's already in the front?
Well, Canopy actually formed about 10 years ago when the Akron Pride Center closed down through a merger with an AIDS awareness group, becoming Canopy, which has a strong focus on HIV and AIDS testing and awareness and education. They do some really great work for the community related to housing primarily, but that is really their focus, is the HIV and the housing, right?
Uh-huh.
And then PFLAG does a great job providing educational resources to parents who are lesbian or gay, and they've expanded into other groups. They just haven't updated the acronym because they're way too established to start changing their name now. The rebranding on that would be at an astronomical cost, and I'm proud of them for not trying to change their name to sound more inclusive and letting their actions speak for it, and rather than funneling money into a rebrand or funneling that money into providing their services.
Mm-hmm.
PFLAG is a tremendous organization. They've done a lot of great work. And some of that is overlap, that a lot of their focus is on education, and we plan on providing some of that as well. But the big difference is the psychological and the immediate use services that we're looking to provide, that housing is important, education on the issues is important. However, neither of those things are going to inherently help you if someone tries to jump you. They're not going to solve your depression. Right, or bipolar, or schizophrenia, or maybe you just need someone to talk to confidentially about problems in your life, and you don't necessarily have a mental health disorder or illness, but you're just having a hard time, right? Those services aren't necessarily going to help you with that.
Right.
And that's why that's our focus, is because those are needs that aren't being answered yet. We are working on setting up a clothing exchange and a few other services, and eventually there may be some overlap with Canopy and PFLAG. But for now, we're focused on just trying to build our niche and expanding those, so that way, at the end of the day, there's an entire array of services. And then any overlap that we do create is more as a supplement to those organizations. For example, our educational stuff, obviously, if you want to go to PFLAG, more power to you. We fully support that. But if that's not something you feel comfortable doing, you know, you want to be a little more subtle about it, or you want to more in-person, you know, talk to someone about it, that's where we would come in on the educational side of it.
Cool. Are you guys, you do notice like Akron Pride is August 24th. You guys are you guys signed up for it?
Yes, we will be there.
Okay, great. You know, tell me about some of the things you guys are, you know, you guys have been doing, because I know you guys had a kickoff party back in March.
Yep. Mid-March, we had our kickoff party. We had a local trans pop band, Dream States. I never miss a chance to plug them. They are fantastic.
Tell me about Dream.
I have their entire discography in my car right now. I have a 6-CD changer, and 4 of them are Dream States. One of the others is Avenged Sevenfold, and the last one is Lonely Island, because my music taste is as eclectic as I am.
No judgment.
We all like different things when it comes to music. But yeah, so they performed for us. Sandra Kurt came out, and then we had a couple of speakers. Sandra had planned on speaking. Something came up. She had to leave probably 20 minutes before we were going to get her up there. But yeah, so that was unfortunate. She has said that if we have a future event that we would like her to speak at, though, that she is more than happy to stop in and, you know, talk about issues that we're dealing with. However, the one sad thing, I don't mean to downer the conversation, but about a week after that, when I referenced my co-founder, suicide prevention and mental health care is something that hits very close to our team, because we actually lost Vanessa to suicide about a week after our kickoff party. And so it's amazing how much that motivates you when before it's, you know, you understand this happens a lot. When it happens to one of your best friends and colleagues, it really drives that point home that this is a problem.
It is. My condolences for your the loss of your friend. That's very
tragic. The fight goes on.
Yeah, it does.
And we've recovered more or less. There wasn't a whole lot of detriment to the organization. We were able to fill the slot on the board. Uh-huh. And push forward with that, and we've all had our time to grieve. You know, it was about 5 months ago now, so we've had time to grieve and process. But then after that, we attempted to do a roadside cleanup about a month later, and of course, Ohio being Ohio, the night before we were going to converge in Highland Square and work our way up towards Route 18 and Hawkins, that intersection,
uh-huh.
It snowed.
Well,
so roadside cleanups, I don't know if you know how these work, but they go a lot better when you can see the trash. It's crazy that it's hard to pick things up when you don't know they're there.
But do you got a new scheduled date for it?
We do, we do. This Friday, actually. We're going to meet in Highland Square near Angel Falls around 1 p.m.
Uh-huh.
We've got all the supplies. We plan on bringing lemonade and a few other beverages and some snacks, and we're just going to work our way up with as many volunteers as arrive.
Are you sure it's not going to snow or rain?
I mean, it's June, so
we're still in spring.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, technically we're still in spring.
We're in Ohio. It could be July. We might get snow.
This is very true.
But it's unlikely, and I've been following the weather very closely, but things are looking good. We also do have a large number of umbrellas, so if it does rain and people are still willing, we can fight through the rain. I'm going to rain or shine, but hopefully we can get other people to come out and help out with that, because the more we have, the faster it will go, and the more ground we can cover.
All right. Any other events you guys are doing?
The 20th of this month, we actually are partnered up with Barnes & Noble, running an LGBT book club.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a young trans man reach out to me and mention that Barnes & Noble and a few other people were looking to try and start this, and would I like to put in contact, and they connected us, and that went really well. It was a great conversation.
What is the book that you guys wrote for book club?
The first book that we're doing, which is this coming meeting on the 20th, is Every Heart a Doorway. It's a small novella. One of the main characters is trans, and another one is actually asexual, which is a demographic you rarely see represented either in media or literature. And so I was really excited. It was actually a recommendation of a friend of mine.
That seems really interesting. I might have to make it to that thing, because as a writer, I am a big sucker for LGBT literature.
Well, and from what... I haven't finished the book yet, I just started it,
uh-huh.
But from what my friend told me and the one synopsis that I read, the important thing that I really enjoy about this is that while the character is, one character is trans, and it does play a small role in the plot line, mostly in backstory, the asexual characters being asexual is, there's a moment where it's important, but for the most part, it's not something that's focused on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a person, and then one issue comes up where that is a significant aspect of who they are in that situation. But otherwise, it's not really discussed. And I think that that's really important in literature, because far too often when we see LGBT individuals represented in literature, the entire story is about how that guy's gay. And it's all about his him being gay.
I Love Simon, for example.
Yeah. Well, and I Love Simon was done well because it was focusing on the fact that he was gay and how that affected other things.
Uh-huh.
But far too often you see a gay character and the whole focus is on that character being gay and their boyfriend and how... And that's the only thing that's addressed. I Love Simon was meant to be that way. Other stories are told, and the moment the gay character is found out to be gay, that becomes everything else is backburned. And this is a situation where the character is seen as a person who happens to be asexual or happens to be trans, instead of that being the only thing important thing about them.
Right.
You know, there are other attributes that are explored within these individuals.
All right.
And then the plan right now is in July. We're planning for around the 13th to do a meetup either at Portage Lakes or Monroe Falls, a location similar to that. We're ironing out the details, but we're going to try and do a lakeside cookout party thing just to kind of give people a place to go and have fun. I saw a post on Facebook about a week ago that was that they'd asked some of their queer friends, specifically their trans friends, what they would do if for one day there were no cisgendered heterosexuals. And the overwhelming answer this person got back was, I'd go swimming. Because it's hard for a lot of the trans community to go swimming and feel comfortable because of obvious reasons.
What are some of those reasons, just for our audience to know?
So that gets into dealing with what being trans means. So I'll go through a brief explanation of that. So generally speaking, and this isn't true of all of us, but generally speaking, trans individuals experience either gender dysphoria or gender euphoria, sometimes a combination of both. Gender dysphoria is the best example I can give to cisgendered men would be hold your mom's or your girlfriend's, if you're straight, or some other woman in your life's purse in Walmart for a little while. Just walk around with it. And it feels a little weird. And that's as close as I can get you to understanding what dysphoria is. Basically, something is wrong. And in some cases, you can't quite put your finger on what is wrong, but you know something about you isn't right, or about what you're doing isn't right. It feels weird. For trans individuals, it's usually an aspect of our bodies, right? So for trans women, they may have a penis.
Mm-hmm.
And as a trans woman, that feels, it shouldn't be there, right?
Right.
For trans men, obviously, it's the other issue. That they would have a vagina and it shouldn't be there. And then gender euphoria is that you might not feel uncomfortable with your body, but you feel more comfortable expressing yourself in the other role, right? So as a trans woman, I feel, which is the biggest part of my transition, is that I feel a lot more me expressing myself as a woman than I ever did expressing myself as a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the dysphoria is usually the hardest part of it for going swimming. Find me a women's swimsuit that isn't going to pose problems for appendages that I don't want. Right?
Right.
And so even if it's in, even if it's a psychological thing, because I understand having done this myself, no, not everyone is going to be staring at my groin. But if you're not ridiculously self-centered or self-confident, it's going to feel like everyone is.
Okay.
And that would make someone uncomfortable. Nobody wants to be stared at. And so we're trying to plan this out so that we can kind of have a large enough group so that the individuals who do face those issues can still feel safe and comfortable being there.
Okay. So Do you have any other business going on, like post that, or?
I don't think we have any other major events coming up in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we do have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We have a really inactive Tumblr. We don't really have much
to tumble
about right now. And then, of course, we have our website. Our events are all posted to... they're always on the Facebook and the Twitter. Usually posts about them because I found a setting. I slaved the Twitter to the Facebook, so if I post about an event on the Facebook, it'll automatically tweet about it.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we do our best to get them onto the website. We're a very small team, so sometimes that's a bit more difficult than it may seem like it should be. But, of course, we also have our email. If you're looking to just contact us generally, info@spectrumdiversitycommunitycenter.org. And if you have questions about events, you have ideas for events, you want to help with literally anything, any input we appreciate because it allows us to more effectively provide these services and tailor these services to the needs of our community.
Well, that is phenomenal. I'm glad that you are picking up the mantle of the stick and just basically just running with it because in this day and age, we need something like that in the community because, yes, we have so many things, these outlets out there like PFLAG, Canopy, the LGBT community at the Akron's campus. We need people who are willing to be active in the community, who are willing to fight the fights that not many people in the community are brave enough to fight. And it's not a knock against them. It's like not every person is meant to...
Well, and I wouldn't even say that they're not brave enough. I would challenge that it's often an issue of safety, that no matter how brave you are, if you come out and start trying to fight this and then you end up getting attacked and, God forbid, killed,
yeah,
then you didn't really accomplish what you set out to accomplish, and we've now lost a brother or a sister or a sibling,
right,
in our community, and that just ends up being a tragic loss. And so I think that for a lot of people, it's either that they don't feel safe or they aren't safe, and so they can't do these things. And I come from, and I'm in a position where I have an incredibly supportive family. My housemates are incredibly supportive, many of them part of the community themselves.
Mm-hmm.
My workplace is supportive, my church is supportive, and so I'm in a position of relatively secure safety.
Right.
So I'm able to build something like this and try to create a place where other people can experience that same safety where they might not otherwise be able to.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, 5 to 10 years from now, where do you see Spectrum Diversity?
This is the question I always dread.
You know what was coming.
It's because I am simultaneously an optimist and a pessimist.
Okay.
So the pessimist in me sees us running, you know, our self-defense classes, our peer support therapy, a clothing exchange, still out of a loose network of churches and other organizations that are allowing us to utilize their spaces. The optimist in me is hoping that we can generate the revenue through our donations and other merch that we're going to have at Pride, including some really cool chain link keychains. I have a buddy that's doing them in iodized aluminum, so they're colored in Pride flags.
Oh.
Yeah, we're really excited about those. He had made one years ago that was rainbow, and this was before I even came out, and I immediately grabbed that off of him. Now he's going to make us a bunch of them. But things like that, that we can afford to acquire a building where we can operate out of, and provide these services from there. So in the next 5 to 10 years, that is my optimistic goal.
Uh-huh.
But I also understand that our dreams in that regard don't always pan out because it is reliant on other people helping.
Mm-hmm.
And so realistically, probably somewhere in the middle, we'll probably be able to provide these services, more regularly and more effectively, out of a more regular location, but not necessarily one that we have ownership of. Within the next 5 years, and then hopefully within the next 10 years, we will have that physical location.
Great. It was great having you on the show, Andrea. And you know, it's always to have this just be a voice to the community. If you have anybody who wants to come onto the show to tell their story, publicly or anonymously, I can speak English, believe me. Please come. This is a place where you can be yourself. Like, there's no filter. This is the first episode, so, you know, this is more professional, but, you know.
Well, you can tell there's no filter because I've flubbed, like, 12 words already. We don't edit.
Hey, it's uncensored, pal. And it's like, you know, this is something that's real, organic. So, thank you for coming on to the show.
My pleasure.
Please come back anytime. You can always feel at home. Don't feel like a stranger. Just don't steal my beer.
It's okay, I'm more of a whiskey girl anyway.
Okay. So, but yeah, that's our show, folks.